A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Kuf Beis, Ksubas 102a, pagination 203. We're discussing a Gemara here of what status does giving a person an IOU document really have in terms of making something binding and making it as if the money has transferred and is truly owned by the recipient. So the Gemara brings up proof five lines down on the page. Tashema, from a case of Pidyon HaBen, which we're going to see, the Gemara is going to deflect and say it's not really a proof. Kosav LeKohen, if a person writes to the Kohen, She'ani Chayav Lo Chomesh Sloim, that I owe you the value of the five coins that's owed for Pidyon HaBen, redemption of the firstborn. So the halacha in such a case where he transferred a document to the Kohen is chayev liten lo chamesh sloim, he has to indeed give the coins that value, which seems to be that the shtar, the document, is very powerful. Uveno eno podui, but by the way, his son is not considered redeemed. So, if we look at such a Mishnah, we get the impression that a document is very powerful. So powerful that it creates a new obligation over and above his obligation to redeem the firstborn. And he's going to have to fulfill that obligation. And even when he fulfills that obligation, it's not going to fulfill his original obligation of redemption. So this obligation of the document is totally independent and very powerful. Answers the Gemara, not true. Shaini Hasam, this entire thing is different. The Meshubad Lemida Oraisa, because there was an original obligation to redeem his son with a Kohen. So when he wrote a document, he was essentially affirming his obligation, but that's not a proof that a document can create a new obligation. Maybe it could, maybe it can't. Pidyon HaBen is not going to prove anything because he owed the money to begin with. Asks the Gemara, Ihachi, if so, that there's an underlying obligation and all this document is doing is affirming the original obligation, Amai Kosav, what was accomplished by writing this document? What changes because you write the document? And the Gemara explains, Kedei Levarer Lo Kohen. What he's accomplishing is he's writing a document on the original obligation to redeem his firstborn, but he's writing it to a specific Kohen. So that whereas until now he could redeem the child with any Kohen, the Kohen of his choice, now that he's written the document, he's in essence stating, I will redeem the child through you, this specific Kohen. Now, to the father, it may not make a whole lot of difference because either way he has to do the redemption and it's the same financial amount. But to the Kohen, it's going to make a whole lot of difference because if you redeem with a different Kohen, this particular person does not get five Sloim. And if you commit yourself to redeem with him, then he's the one who gets that money. It's a difference between 0% and 100%. It's a total difference of whether he gets the money. We're going to revisit that concept in a moment. Ihachi, if so, Beno amai eno padui, then why indeed is the child not redeemed? We're understanding this document as affirming a pre-existing obligation and binding yourself to fulfill that obligation with a specific Kohen. Great. So why doesn't it work? At least after he pays up the debt, it should work. Why does this document look like it's creating a whole new debt? And even after he pays up, even after the chayev liten lo chamesh sloim, that he's obligated, even so is a beno eno podui. His child is still not redeemed. and he has to do a separate redemption, despite the fact that he fulfilled the obligation of the document. Answers the Gemara, here's the secret. Kidu'ula. It's based on a teaching from Ula. Da'amar Ula. Devar Torah, according to Torah law, padui. The child would indeed be redeemed l'cheshayitein when you fulfill the obligation that you wrote up in the document, meaning the pre-existing obligation and the obligation of the document are one and the same, and it's simply affirming the pre-existing obligation. Biblically, once you pay up, you have fulfilled your obligation. U'maitayma amru b'no eno padui. Why is it that we say that the child is not redeemed? Gezeira shamayom rupodim b'shtaros. We're worried that a person who sees you fulfill your obligation relating to a document is going to have the impression that you could do redemption through the value of a document, which is not true. There's a specific drasha in the Gemara in Bechoros, which tells us that if you have documents, IOUs, you have a collection, different people who owe you money, you can't simply give those documents to the Kohen in lieu of payment of this redemption of the firstborn. It doesn't work because the document itself does not have value. And because documents are not an acceptable way to do a redemption, therefore, they legislated that in this case, where he used a document to affirm his obligation, he should be obligated to fulfill the document, and he still has to independently go and fulfill his obligation of redemption. We don't want shtaros, documents, to be confused with redemption, and therefore they impose this. But according to Torah law, you're right, the document is not going to create, according to Torah law, a new obligation. It's simply an affirmation of the pre-existing obligation. And once he pays up, he would have fulfilled his obligation. Now, our Gemara indicated that the purpose of this document was certainly not to bind himself twice. That's just what comes out because of this rabbinic legislation, because we don't want people to confuse shtaros as a means of redemption. Why did he write that document? Says the Gemara, kidei levarer lo kohen, to designate a kohen. And the question, therefore, deserves to be explored on this topic. What happens if a person makes a commitment to a kohen without writing a document? He only says verbally, I intend to use you as a Kohen. Is he allowed to back out? The classic problem would be that he has a friend in yeshiva who is a Kohen, and he tells him, I intend to use you as the Kohen. And then when he gets home, he discusses it with his wife, and she points out that they have a relative who's a Kohen, someone who married into the family. It's not a family of Kohanim, that's why they have to redeem their firstborn, but an uncle, a brother-in-law, someone married into their family, and it would be proper to use him as the Kohen. Are you allowed to back out of the verbal commitment that you made? You didn't make a kinyan, you didn't write up a document, the way our Gemara describes. Can you back out? It is a complex topic. The Ramah in Simen Shin Hei in Yoredeya Sif Dalid states, Amar LeKohen, if a person tells a Kohen, Shenosen Lo Liftos Espeno, that he intends to use him to redeem the firstborn son, Osur Lachzerbo, you're not allowed to back out. Mihu, but Im Chazar, if you did back out, Have a Chazorah, it does work. It's considered a back out, and you're allowed to use a different Kohen. The concept is based on a powerful principle called Matana Mu'etes. If you pledge a small amount to somebody else, verbally, it's considered mechusar amona to back out. If you pledge a large amount to somebody, so this is discussed in Choshen Mishpat Resh Mem Tes, and the Sma there observes that a person does not expect to get it until it's signed and certified, so to speak. You offer him a big gift, when I see it, I'll believe it. But if you offer him a small amount, he's somech das, he expects to get it, it's a small gift, and therefore it's mechusar amana, it's lacking in trust to back out of such a deal. The case of Pidyon HaBen, remarkably, is considered a case of matana mu'etes, a small gift. Because as we mentioned, certainly, on the part of the Kohen, it's a big gift. He's going from getting nothing to getting 100% of the redemption amount. But the amount that the father of the child is committing himself is considered matana mu'etes, a small gift. Why? Because he has to redeem the child anyway. It's just a question of who he's going to redeem the child with. And therefore, the amount that he's pledging to the Kohen, when he verbally states, I'm going to use you as the Kohen, it's a very nominal pledge. It makes no difference. Use him, use somebody else. And therefore, at the time that he made that commitment, it was considered matana mu'etes, and to back out of it is considered mechusar amana. The question that we would be dealing with, however, is, good, the person who heard you thought your pledge was binding and a real commitment because it doesn't cost you much, so to speak. It doesn't cost you anything different financially. You're going to have to do it anyway. But now that you realize that it could cause you shalom bayis issues, when people, relatives, start questioning, why didn't you use Uncle So-and-so? Why don't you use your brother-in-law? How inconsiderate. So now, are those grounds for backing out, or at the very least, to request of the Kohen that was originally designated to be understanding and allow you to use the other Kohen? So that becomes a delicate shaila which should be asked on a case-by-case basis, but these are the principles. Our Gemara has it that he wrote up a document to bind himself to a specific Kohen. The Ramah states that generally you're not allowed to back out, but he leaves you the option that if you did back out, you could, and the question is, should you, and under what circumstances? Yashar Koach. Thank you for joining.